This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Wong Shaoning, and this is the Morning Run with Lin Mark. It is now 7:19 in the morning, Friday the 30th of October. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Kwe Kim Soon, consulting leader for Malaysia at Mercer, on salary trends in the country amid the pandemic. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at the logistics sector, because earlier this week, the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, or MCMC, announced that it would suspend the issuances of new courier licenses for 2 years, effective from the 14th of September this year until 2022. The logistics industry is fiercely competitive, and as of October, there are reportedly 109 courier license holders in operations. Now, the government said that the move was to allow for the formulation of a new plan to strengthen the logistics sector. And as part of the drafting process, the government is conducting the National Postal and Courier Industry Laboratory in November, which will run for 3 weeks. So for some thoughts on the landscape of the logistics industry and the trends that could influence plans for the sector, we speak to Cheong Yen Lee, Associate Director at PwC. Thank you for joining us this morning, Yen Lee. Now, help us put the Malaysian logistics industry into context for us. How large is the sector? And could you give us a picture of the different kinds of players across the value chain?
So the logistics segment in Malaysia is large, but I think it's one that it's very, very fragmented. So you do have some large players, and there's also a whole host of smaller logistics providers who either serve a niche market or a specialized or a specific localized area. I mean, just to give you a sense of the overall logistics value chain, if you look at it, you have players that are at the upper end of the value chain. So these are the likes of your freight transporters, freight forwarders, and the hauliers, who predominantly deal with the cross-border shipment of goods. And then if you look at the middle section, then you also have the inland transporters, which are effectively the truckers that move the goods to the warehouses. Going a little bit closer to the consumer, you then have obviously the distribution centers, the warehouse service providers, and of course, the last mile delivery providers that ultimately deliver goods to the end consumer. And of course, I think most people are familiar with the last mile delivery segment, as it has been receiving quite a lot of interest in recent times, especially with the rise of, you know, e-commerce and in the current times that we live in. So these are the likes of your courier companies, the ones you see on the road, and the ones that we as consumers interface with most of the time.
So this week, the government announced that it had frozen all new courier service licenses for 2 years. What's the rationale for this move, and why now?
I think as a whole, this is probably a positive move, and hopefully one that will benefit the logistics industry as a whole, in particular the courier segment. I think what the freezing of licenses kind of shows that the government is serious in drafting a more cohesive action plan, one that would help, hopefully help ensure a more structured and organized logistics network, which I think it's especially important as an enabler for the overall growth in the e-commerce market. I mean, if you look at a lot of the new entrants into the courier service market, right? So talking about the smaller players, I mean, naturally, they would focus their time and effort in servicing more profitable areas or routes, for example, the Klang Valley, where, of course, e-commerce penetration is very high and the adoption of delivery services is also very high compared to some of the rural areas. But if you look at the other larger companies who have to provide courier services to other less accessible areas, would be it in the rural areas or the outskirts, these are routes that may not be as lucrative. Mm-hmm. So I think the pause in the issuance of new licenses, so when we are limiting the number of new players, at least for now, well, to a certain extent, I think gave the existing players a bit of breathing space, kind of like a moratorium, mm-hmm. To help them or to allow them to re-strategize and also realign their position and offerings.
And Yen Lee, what kind of trends are you seeing in the logistics sector in light of COVID-19, as well as the broader push towards e-commerce?
Okay, so I think COVID-19 has made one thing very, very clear. So, which is, in order to survive, consumer-facing businesses must adopt an online presence. I don't think there's two ways about this. But correspondingly, the logistics infrastructure, I think, will also need to adapt to support the increased demands of e-commerce. I think another thing that's clear and quite critical is that the logistics sector, I think, can no longer just rely on its traditional ways of doing business. What I mean by this is, while having physical assets are important, I think technology is becoming absolutely central to the business, whether it's to enable greater automation, like in, say, warehouse management or route planning and optimization, which ultimately leads to that quicker response time that everyone is expecting or is coming to expect with e-commerce transactions. Of course, I mean, this does not come cheap, and this requires significant amounts of investments in technology. I mean, I used to live in London for a while, and while I was there, I mean, I saw the whole evolution of the likes of Amazon, right? People just couldn't understand why so much money was being plowed back into the business. But then came the launch of Amazon Prime, where for a small fee, effectively, I could have my goods delivered to my doorstep within 24 hours or sometimes even less. And I think that is a significant game changer. So I think hopefully that's the trend in which we are moving towards over here in Malaysia. And hopefully we can see that less than 24-hour delivery coming through hopefully sooner rather than later.
So for the last mile delivery, we have seen the emergence of private equity funded and Chinese players in this market with the strategy of gaining market share versus generating profits. I mean, it's great for consumers, but is this sustainable?
Okay, so I fully agree with you that it's good for consumers. I mean, initially, the main beneficiary are always the end consumers in these kind of games, right? But as with many startup or tech-related companies, I think it's a matter of who can gain the market share, scale and dominance in the shortest possible time so that they can weed out the weaker players in the market. I mean, this is important in many different industries, but especially so within the courier segment where scale, your level of coverage and your network is absolutely key. But I think in the longer term, inevitably, there'll be consolidation. Pretty much, I think we'll get to a point where there are just probably a few major players that will dominate the market because of scale, as I mentioned before. I mean, all you need to do is just take a page out of the ride-hailing or e-wallet book to predict what's going to happen, right? But I think the ones that will remain and survive, hopefully successfully, will ultimately be those that are backed by deep pockets and those that can, like I mentioned earlier on, invest heavily in its technology and assets so that they can provide that whole end-to-end solution, whether it's for the consumers or businesses, in the shortest possible time and also for the lowest possible cost. So I think that's kind of the situation where we'll ultimately end at. But once the whole shakeup is complete, I think us as consumers probably have to end up paying a little bit more for delivery charges, but hopefully there'll be sufficient value add for us to justify paying those kind of fees.
Thank you for your time. That was Cheong Yen Lee, Associate Director at PwC, giving us the landscape of the Malaysian logistics industry and reminding us that it's an extremely competitive one and there's likely to be a shakedown. So for the moment, consumers, enjoy the low rates you are paying to send your packages around the world, because it's not going to last, because eventually all these players are looking at market consolidation. Perhaps, you know, it's the game of growing market share more than anything else. Lynn, what were your key takeaways?
Yeah, you know, Yenli drew the comparison between the courier industry now and the ride-hailing industry, which we also saw develop over the last couple of years. And we did see rounds of consolidation. I think it was last year when we saw Uber kind of edge out of the market. We saw Grab really achieve some kind of a fair bit of dominance in this region, of course, rivaled by Gojek in Indonesia. So when it comes to the courier industry, at the end of the day, as she says, you know, we're probably going to start seeing some of the smaller players edged out of the market or absorbed by the bigger players who are backed by deep pockets. pockets. But it's going to be a very interesting thing to watch, certainly. And I think we've spoken to a few of these courier service players as well on the Breakfast Grill. I mean, I remember speaking with Aramex. Shaning, you've spoken with GDEX and Ninja Van, right?
Yeah, I spoke to Ninja Van. Noel spoke to GDEX, and then Roshan Kanison spoke to Lala Move. So practically all the courier companies have been on our show. Do listen to any of them. You can find them on the Spotify or on the BFM app. They were very interesting conversations, and you know, you can really see what they focus on, which is lowering down costs and a lot of attention paid on technology. So some people even say these are tech companies, not really logistic players. But up next, we'll be speaking to Gary Ng on the China's 5-year economic plan, and that's going to be happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.